Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, June 27th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're at page 90, the first paragraph, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, ending realizing they are dealing with a sick person, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Mary P., reader of the text, Betsy H., Jordan L., and Lorraine N. The reference number for Monday, June 26th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,384. That's 20384. And for this morning, June 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,387. That's 20387. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay, Dawn?
Yes, we sure can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, because I'm in my car, and I just wanted to be sure I'm coming through. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you this month, and all of you, it was a privilege. I am Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us in the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And a thank you to Leah as well. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. Excuse me. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 90, the first paragraph that starts with, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, ending, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph only today. I will now ask Betsy H. to begin reading.
Thank you, Dawn. Hi, this is Betsy H., Recovered Compulsive Reader. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing they're dealing with a sick person. Yeah, this is an interesting one because my tendency is that because I've found the 12 steps to be a good solution to my compulsive reading problem, a great solution, I think that other people should do the same as me. And I think that it should be their solution too. People, my family, people I meet in the world, people I meet at work, friends, acquaintances. But, you know, not everyone, this is reminding me, not everyone wants to stop overeating at this time. And I really don't know. Maybe they're not a compulsive overeater. Maybe they are a hard eater where they're able to stop when they really need to. So they're saying, like, if I keep trying to persuade someone that they should stop overeating, they should work the 12 steps of OA, come to meetings, it's actually a waste of time, and it could spoil a later opportunity. So isn't that interesting? Like, I could just be trying to push, but I could be spoiling a later opportunity. I could be annoying the person so much that they just close their mind to the 12-step programs when they might really need them at some point in the future. So, yeah, that's really good to remember that I don't know what another person needs. And I could plant a seed, but I don't have the power to make it sprout and grow. You know, that's between the person and their higher power. Their recovery is between them and their higher power. It's not about me, actually, at all. I just have to suit up and show up and be of service and be willing to carry the message or help guide people the steps, whatever it is. And this paragraph reminds us that it's a sick person. I generally don't get that angry when people are sick. I have more compassion for them. They're not feeling well. They may be all irritated and talking negative because they have pain in the body. They don't have energy. They don't feel good. So it's a good reminder that it could be that a lot of people I meet are perhaps spiritually sick, like me, you know. And if so it's a good reminder that I got to focus, like it says in the Serenity Prayer, on the things that I can change, having the courage to change what I can, which is to take action on my recovery today. That's really probably that's the biggest thing I can do to help anyone else to be in recovery, is to clean house, help others, trust in God. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Larry G.
Wendy B.
Larry G. Wendy B.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Ronnie B.
Sherry M.
Ronnie B. And Sherry M.
Roz G.
And Roz G, and we'll stop there. Okay, I have Larry G, Wendy B, Kathleen O, Ronnie B, Sherry M, and Roz G. Larry G, please go ahead and get us started.
Yes, good morning, Dawn and my fellow Vision members. Larry G from California. I was sharing with my wife that we're, 23,000 recorded calls. I mean, that just blows me away. I'm so grateful for a Vision for You. There's two things that we're reading today. One is the we're not here to convince people about this program, our program, our recovery. And the other is diagnosing the sick man. I've spent my entire life thinking I knew more about what you need than I did, and I was so grateful when I got in Alcoholics Anonymous, walked the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you weren't selling anything to me. My sponsor would tell me, well, you know, do that step or go get drunk. That's what he would tell me. And I just love the fact that in 12-step programs, we are not promoting. It's a program of attraction. And finally, after many years, growing up a little bit, I have stopped thinking I know more what's better for you than you do. At times I do, at times I have to admit I do, but I have some self-restraint today because the truth is I don't know what's best for you. At times I don't even know what's best for me, only God does. The other is this diagnosing people who are sick. I don't use the sick man prayer for that reason. I stay out of that arena. I let other people diagnose, doctors and therapists and so on. I don't know what ails people. Is there some people visibly suffering? Yes. And I will say to myself, that person's suffering, and pray for them. But I stop diagnosing people. Well, I use the sick man prayer the most is myself, because we've moved all the way from the doctor's opinion, where we talked about we can't tell the difference between the truth and the false. now we're done with step 11. Now we're moving on. And, you know, we have recovered, and we're now commencing work with others. And so my mind has changed. My whole outlook on life has changed, but I still have that alcoholism, that ism inside me, that at times I can't diagnose the truth from the false. So if I'm going to use a sick man prayer, I'm going to use it for myself. Anyway, I'm out, and I pass it back to you, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Wendy B., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, you know, don't waste time trying to persuade him, you may spoil a later opportunity. And I'm just really aware that us alcoholic types, you know, can't be persuaded against our will. You know, we have to be ready. You know, no one could persuade me. You know, I had to want what I saw enough, you know, to do the work to get it. And so I looked at persuade, and it's to influence by argument, advice, entreaty, to convince by reason offered to the mind, by reasons offered to the mind. And that reminds me that my mind, you know, is fickle. You know, one minute I'm convinced, you know, and the next minute I'm under the influence of my diseased thinking. You know, like he was just saying, you know, I can't tell the truth from the false. And, you know, I had to hit bottom, you know, so I felt it in my body, you know, in my heart, in my emotions, not just my mind. And, you know, I could say one minute I wanted to stop, you know, I was convinced, you know, then the next minute I'd be choosing to eat again, you know. So the newcomer, you know, can say they want to quit too, you know, that they're desperate, you know, but it'll become evident, you know, as we work together, if it's true. You know, I need to look at their actions, not just listen to their words. You know, their actions will tell me if they mean business, you know, if they're willing to do what it takes to recover. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Kathleen O., please share with us, followed by Ronnie B.
Thank you. Good morning, Dawn. Kathleen O., compulsive overeater in California. And, you know, when I read this paragraph, it makes me wonder, let me get the paragraph again. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about them. And the end of this is, you know, the word, you know, give this advice to his family also. So, you know, back in the day, was this a family member coming and saying, you know, my so-and-so has a drinking problem, will you talk to him? Because it seems like if he doesn't want to stop drinking, he probably didn't go to them. I don't know. I'm just kind of like trying to think of what it was back in the 30s. But so, you know, and we have it a little different today because most of the time people come to us. We do hear the question all the time. You know, we've got a friend who's suffering from this. We've got a family member who's suffering from this. What do we do? Well, you know, most of the answers are, it doesn't do any good unless they come to us to say anything, to just be, you know, an example, to just keep recovering. And hopefully they'll want what we have, you know, traction rather than promotion. I know for, you know, and there's people who come to me and, you know, in the past who have been wanting to be sponsored. And I do try to find out as much as I can. And all of them want to stop eating, but not all of them are willing to do what it takes. They just don't want to do the work. You know, they still want the certain food items, even though they're items that will trigger them. And I know for me, I mean, I know for me, I'm the real deal. And I don't consider myself sick. I consider it just my genetics. It is what it is. I'll never be any different. Things will never be any different for me when it comes to food. And so when I meet a prospect like me, you know, I ask them, are you willing to weigh and measure your food? Are you willing to put down flour and sugar and your trigger foods? You know, it's so easy to say, oh, well, corn chips are okay and, you know, garlic fries are okay. Well, they probably aren't. And so are you willing to go to any lengths? And if they are, then taking them through the steps usually works really well. And, you know, and they have some success. And then we just keep doing it. We take action over and over again because, you know, we wake up the next morning and have to start all over again. Anyway, with that, I pass. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Ronnie B., please share with us, followed by Sherry M. Star one, Ronnie.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Ronnie B. in Missouri. Thank you for your service. what I was thinking of was no one could help me until I was ready. So I should always use that. I should always use myself as an example, you know, of things being fruitless if someone's not ready. However, the fruit may not be there, but there are occasions when the seed can be there. And I can possibly be an example, not in your face example, just live my best recovered life. You know, I've tried other things with people. You know, I have a couple of people in my life that are pretty, I don't want to judge and say in need. I don't know. That's between them and God. But I do, and I'm not their higher power, you know, and I'm not going to flaunt, oh, I have this. You know, that doesn't work. You know, I think the big book calls that leading with the chin. However, you know, when somebody says to me or compliments or whatever it happens to be, I can say things like, I'm very grateful that I'm recovered in the program of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll tell you the truth. Several friends know this. They're in other programs, but not this one. And while it's not my job to get them here, I do believe it is my job to carry a message. And it doesn't have to be a punch you in the face message, right? It can just be, this is what works for me. And sometimes I do get grief. You know, a lot of these people I'm talking about, we go to an AA banquet, right? And there's sugar all over the place. And so I don't have any. And it's been a minute. I'm grateful for that. And two people that will take two and three helpings will say, well, I'm going to enjoy my life. And if eating this is helping me enjoy my life, is if I'm arguing with them. And, you know, it's funny. I don't argue. I'm not saying anything. So, again, you know, I can say to them, no, yeah, there are times when it's a bit of a challenge. But for the most part, I do have food neutrality. You know, it's not 100% every single day. You know, I was saying to my sponsor just the other day, I was dog sitting at my son's house and I put my food in the freezer. Oh my gosh, 2 half gallons of ice cream. I had to tell myself, that's not my food, and close the freezer. And that's what I did. And it can be difficult, but it was okay. Later on, I went and got my food and didn't look around to see what else was there. So again, I'm not perfect. I don't have a perfect life or perfect program, you know, but I do know what I refrain from. And I do know the benefits I've received. And I want to continue receiving those a day at a time. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Sherry M., please share with us, followed by Roz G. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 90. We're talking about that first paragraph that starts with, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, ending realizing they are dealing with a sick person. We're commenting on that one paragraph only today. And after Sherry M. and Roz G., I'll be taking more names. So go ahead, Sherry, please share with us.
Thanks so much. Am I unmuted, Dawn?
Yes, you're good.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. My name is Sherry. I'm in Wyoming, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Thank you for your service. And I love this part of the book, and I wanted to share on it because I have had the experience of, you know, delivering a message to someone, you know, a year prior to her then calling me, and then I sponsored her, and she became recovered a year later. I also have an experience of many of you sharing a message with me that I could not hear until I could hear it. But, you know, years later, the very things that I thought were ludicrous, you know, are part of my everyday life. So we do not know when God wants us to hear a message, when my higher power gently nudges me. The other thing I want to say is that, you know, I do, on most occasions, try to do my very best to carry a message of experience, strength, and hope. And God's work. But I have fallen short so many times because I am a human being. And I think this is really important that we do not make fellows idols in the program, because, you know, like sponsors or just fellows who have long-term whatever, because on any given day, you know, we wake up with this seemingly hopeless disease, a state of mind and body. And sometimes we could be catching a fellow at just an off time, but it doesn't mean that the messenger isn't good. It just means that we have a spiritual reprieve. And so I don't know. I don't know if any of this is making sense, but ultimately it's like when God wants me to hear whatever, I'm going to hear it. When God wants me to transform and change me, I'm going to be changed. And I have to just continue to show up lovingly and happily doing my part, which is working the steps as if my life depends on it. And sometimes I've received outreach calls, and I was triggered by them because it just seemed so crazy, you know, like people calling me to find out how the traffic's going or like what's the weather like, and I'm like, no, my life is on the line. Like, let's talk about God. And so I'm sure I've rubbed people the wrong way, as people have with me, and it's all okay because this is an opportunity for me to run it through the inventory and get to my part, and ultimately about not accepting life on life's terms, you know, and what are the stories I'm telling myself about how, you know, the outcome of whatever this call is that I wanted it to happen. So I just want to shout out to anybody who's ever helped me along the way, who's on the phone, any outreach we've ever had, thank you. Whatever the connection was, I appreciate it, because this is a deadly disease and we only have a daily reprieve, and I'm just so grateful for all of it. I'm grateful for God piecemealing me information at times, and it's all just part of the journey. So thank you, and if you're new, just keep coming back and work the steps and don't give up. Blessings for everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry M. Ross G., please share with us.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for your shares. And what I would like to lend to this discussion is that there's so much to individual sponsorship. There's so much individuality to it all. And, I like to listen to the wisdom of old timers. I also agree with the previous shares that, you know, nobody goes on a spiritual hilltop. There's no celebrities, although there are celebrities. That's just BS if we're saying that there's not. But, you know, for me, not to practice the celebrityism in this group, in these groups. And there's a few words of wisdom from long timers that I really like. One of them is when you're sponsoring, you need to be the adult in the room. Be the adult in the room and, lay out a plan of action for your sponsee and hold them accountable to it. Another words of wisdom I heard was, my food plans should come from anybody but me. And of course, that doesn't mean, you know, that means within the boundaries of having studied the doctor's opinion and knowing what my alcoholic trigger foods are. But you know, this saying is in a workshop that's given once or twice a year. It's a very, very wise workshop where everybody gets to take a look at what they're eating. And should my food plan come from my sick head? No. So those two sayings are very good. I've asked sponsees to tell me what they're eating, and it was the first conversation or two, they don't want to do that. They, can you please sponsor me? I need your help. So I say, okay, this is what we're going to do. No, I don't want to do that. Well, then that's where I say, okay, this is where we don't waste time trying to persuade, you know, what you're going to do. Because, I mean, I have to have some kind of plan of action as a sponsor. Otherwise, the sponsee is going to be the adult in the room, do what they want to do, and they're not going to recover. So there has to come a balance of allowing a sponsor to, guide you. If they have something I want, I'm going to do what they did. Because if I did it the way I want to do it, I'm going to be right back to where I was before I came in here. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph on page 90? The first paragraph starts with when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, ending realizing they are dealing with a sick person.
Joe M. from
Joanne B.
Joan
B.
M.
Arizona.
And Joanne B.
Yes,
Aaron
Joanne
B. Arizona.
And Aaron B. Arizona.
Dana B. as in boy, Texas.
Dana B. in Texas. I have Joanne M. I'm sorry, Joan M., Joanne B., Aaron B., and Dana B. Anyone else? Let's go ahead with this lineup. Joan M., please share with us, followed by Joanne B.
Okay, thank you for your service. Hi, my name is Joe. It's J-O from Minnesota, compulsive overeater. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. I think about the method of approach that I take when it comes to, any opportunity I might have to talk to somebody about what I do. And of recovery. I'm talking about in outside the rooms of OA. And whenever I hear someone, my radar is always up. Like my radar is up if someone says anything about the trouble they're having with their eating or uncomfortable, discomfort with their weight, that type of thing. My radar is up because if they say something that indicates some kind of displeasure with those things, that's an opening for me to approach them. When I do not approach them is when they are having, perceived success with some other method. Like if they say, yeah, I'm going to the such and such weight loss program, or I'm doing such and such a method, I will not approach them because at that point, they believe they're already having success some other way. So I think perhaps they when it says here, if he does not want to stop drinking, it's really stopping the way we define stopping. In this program, we don't define stopping by dieting. That's not stopping for us. What they mean here is stopping for good, meaning stopping and then learning how to stay stopped through this program. Anyway, so I hope that helps. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Joan M. from Minnesota. Joanne B., please share with us, followed by Aaron B.
Hi, everybody. This is Joanne B. from Vermont. So glad to be able to share today and to listen to all the great shares this morning. So I have someone who's very close to me who I can see is struggling with this disease. And, in the past, before I came to OA, I had a lot of success with diet programs, with Weight Watch. I did the Weight Watchers program. I did a couple of other things, and I would lose the weight. And I was always, wanting to, recruit people into what I was doing. Oh, you should do this. This is great. And, I just wanted other people to, do what I was doing. And I think that was all about my ego, wanting approval and wanting, So now that I'm recovered with OA, it's different. It's quieter. I'm not, part of me still wants to shout it from the rooftops, but I also know that this is a program of attraction rather than promotion. And as long as this person in my life sees the success I'm having and how great I'm feeling and I'm happy to share that with her when we talk about it, and we're both recovered from another program, but I know that I have to back off because she's not ready, and she said that to me, and she's still trying to control things, and I can see exactly my same pattern. She's going through all the same things I went through before I basically gave up. And I have to let her go through that journey. And once, it's her journey, she has her own higher power. So, and all I can do is be here and be an example and carry the message when that topic comes up. Anyway, thanks for letting me share today.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. Aaron B. from Arizona, please share with us, followed by Dana B.
Hi, Aaron B. from Arizona. I really like this paragraph. For me, most of my life, I didn't want to hear about anybody's recovery or what they thought I should do. I went through a gastric bypass surgery, and I thought that would be the answer. And it's never really been about the food, and I figured out with that surgery I could still gain weight, and I was still as sick as I am now. And so I had a lot of depression a couple of years after, put on a lot of weight that I'd lost, and I was driving down the road and had the thought to look into OA again. And then I quickly put that out of my mind. The next day I called a friend in Washington, and just out of the blue, he told me that he had started OA. I got the hint from my higher power that that's really what I should look at, but what really got me when my friend was just talking about the peace and serenity he had around food. And that's been my approach. I live with a family full of food addicts. I come from a long line of food addicts or addicts in general, but what I've tried to share with them, and some want to listen. I mean, I don't try to push it with any of them, but some ask questions, is just the peace that I feel around food, which I never even thought was possible until I got into the program, thinking that I wouldn't have to worry about what my kids, if they were eating too much of the food, so I wouldn't have leftovers or enough of it. And just little things like that, and being able to be peaceful and know that my food's my food and I will be okay. And I'm just really grateful that there are people that share the message in a way that's just, yeah, they share it, how it affected them, and the peace and serenity that they've come to find through the program. And that's what I try to do. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Aaron B. from Arizona. Dana B., please share with us.
Good morning. Dana B. here, and making sure I can be heard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, everyone. And I'm really grateful for this program, because I overslept. I woke up just spinning my little brain off with lots to do on my plate. Why I say I'm grateful for the program is I knew I had to put that aside and do my prayer and meditation, make sure I put program first. And those intrusive, urgent, selfish thoughts just are like bombarding me trying to pray and meditate. And all I'm thinking is, I have to work with someone. I have to work with someone. I have to work with others. And then I'm like, okay, my meeting's coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to share. And I've already heard just some great things. I was there. I was that person a few years ago. I wasn't completely ready. Diets had worked. Then I'd gain it back, as some speakers have said this morning. And I had to be completely beaten down into submission. So as I work with others, I recognize that spot for them. And I just try to be very gentle and supportive, that everybody has a different bottom. And again, not to ruin an opportunity that they're going to feel safe to come back at a later time or reach out at a later time. I kind of forgot what I was going to say. Just the patience. And it's really in God's time when I was ready, and then the sponsor, that God, that divine hookup of me being ready, and then the sponsor was there, or the teacher was there. So I just want to thank y'all that I have this program, that I can just put this first in my day, build my day around my program, and it all hinges on working with others. So I will be putting myself down as an available sponsor later in the meeting. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you. Dana P. from Texas. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph on the top of page 90, that first paragraph? Star one if you'd like to share.
Jessie L. from South Carolina.
Jessie L. And who else would like to share? Okay, in the interest of time, Jessie L., go ahead, and then we'll take another name or two.
Hi,
go ahead.
I'm Jessie L. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm very new in the program. And this reading, you know, I guess coming from like a new person standpoint, I don't know if I've been 100% all in since I've started working the program. I wish it's been about a week. I keep on kind of going back to like, okay, well, maybe one day I won't have a problem with food. But I know that's not true. And yeah, just this reading and the shares, you know, just really, you know, got my mind to where like, you know, I need to be all in. You know, I don't want my rock bottom to be what it could be, you know, based on like my mom where she is now, because it's very genetic in our family with food addiction. And I appreciate all the shares today and this group, this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessie L., for sharing from South Carolina. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on page 90, that first paragraph, when you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous ending, realizing they are dealing with a sick person?
Sharon E.
IOA, Southern California.
Southern California.
Okay, Sharon E., and was that, and who else?
IOA.
IOA. And there was another voice there, and I apologize. Please come back tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you. So Sharon E. and IOA. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, this is Sharon E. from Ohio, gratefully recovered. Yep, can't even think. Food addict, we'll call it that. Yeah, with this thing here for me, I had to get to a really bad low. And for me, that bad low was being suicidal. And I hope everybody else doesn't have to get to that point. But for me, that's where it had to go. And so I would not have gotten there with someone dragging me, you know, trying to drag me kicking and screaming. So I had to reach out to my higher power at that time to begin with and just say, if there's anything, please, you know, and it came to my mind to look up overeating in an anonymous program. And I looked it up. There it was. It was close by. It was a walk-in meeting. I could go to it. I called the lady that was in charge of it. I was thrilled, tickled pink, because I was able to go. And it felt like an answer to prayer for me. So, and I think it was. And the whole thing was just a God thing. So I had to get to that low bottom for myself. And I don't think I could have gotten there had someone else been dragging me along. So anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sharon E. from Ohio. IOA, please share with us.
Good morning. This is IO, compulsive overeater, Southern California in Irvine. I'm just grateful to hear different people share. I mean, the most important thing that I'm getting from the reading is that that you have to work the 12 steps and have a connection with your higher power to be able to share that with someone. And from the perspective of someone who's been sponsored, and I've had many different experiences, I can say that it's so important that we be led to the steps. Otherwise, we'd be misled. And I've had experiences where I was actually told to sponsor before I ever worked the steps. And This is my first time, even though I came in 1997, this is my first time being actually at step 12 and reading this chapter. And I can't imagine trying to sponsor anybody without going through the chapter, working with others, or even having had a spiritual awakening and trying to carry the message. And so I share that, you know, with grace and humility that people are where they are. And I just feel that I need to be reminded, even as I work step 12 now, that I am a compulsive overeater who has experienced recovery through working the steps. And that's really all I have to share. I did hear on a podcast something that really resonated with me, and that is I've always heard like that, you know, we should share our experience, strength, and hope, and that newcomers are going to come to us. But after reading chapter 12, I heard that we need to be running towards newcomers because part of working, you know, with another person, our recovery depends on that. And it seems like a symbiotic relationship where you have someone very desperate seeking help, but you also have a sponsor who's very desperate to keep recovery seeking help, seeking someone to help, which becomes a help to them. So I'm just grateful to hear all these different experiences. And I guess the thing I leave with the newcomer is that they are different, and but they all are reliant on the 12 steps and connecting with a power greater than ourselves. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, IOA from California. We have time for like a minute and a half share. Is there someone who hasn't shared in the last few days that would like to take that? Or who is that voice that I already heard? If you want to press star one.
It was me, Agnes, but I don't think I can do it in 1.5 minutes, but I can try. You
okay,
know,
very good.
Yeah, so my take on this is I have been in the program a long time, and I've come to realize that you can't force a program on somebody, right? So you have a lot of new people who are new, like I used to be, and then you get a sponsor and you think, okay, that's a magical pill. Now all my problems will be solved. Like your sponsor will work the program for you and will tell you something you've never really heard or known, right? They say when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. So all that wouldn't make any sense until they're ready. But I tend to listen to newcomers with patience, right? You can tell, or at least I've been able to tell, when they're full of denial and wanting a quick fix and not wanting to do the work. I'm criticizing this, that, and the other. I'm saying, I'm not going to do this. Hell, I'm not going to do that. I don't have to do this. Is this what it takes? And this, that, and the other. Thank you. And so I can only share my strength and experience with them and wait and tell them until they come to that realization. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Agnes, for closing this out. Thank you to everyone who shared. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Thanks for moderating for us, Don. Jordan L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.